Who's going to take the first segment of the night? Can we give him a wisdom assembly welcome?
Father, I want to thank you for another time in your presence. Our desire and our prayer is that we would not live the same. The purpose for which you have ignited this time, let it be fully accomplished in the life of every one of us. That you move us up to the next level in our lives, to the glory and to the praise of your holy name. Thank you, Father. Even as we trust you for insight, as we trust you for understanding, as we trust you, Lord my God, to grace, for the grace to respond appropriately to your word. Blessed be thy name, Father. In Jesus' wonderful name, we are prayed. Hallelujah. We thank God for what the Lord has been doing with us from the morning time. We thank God for how he used his servant greatly this morning. And it's a great opportunity to be here again with, I call him my bishop. Hallelujah. Carl Lawansin and his wife and the people of God. It's a great opportunity, and I do not take it for granted in any way. It's like home for me. Praise the Lord. With my deputies, Tamilo Ray and Toby. Praise the Lord. A couple of things that came strongly to my heart for us to look at briefly this evening. I'll start with 1 Peter chapter 2 and probably go to John 17 and maybe take a few things and see how the Lord helps us with them. 1 Peter chapter 2, he said, therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. This is the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of us who are in those corners before will say, thanks be to God. You have left there for so long. Hallelujah. You know, when they move you to a new level, you know things change. How many of you understand that? Things must change for you to move to a new level. But like Pastor said to us this morning, we want things to change. We want to move to the new level, but we don't want to change. Even in your office, when they move you to a new level, the office room usually will change. Is that correct? The job description will change. Responsibilities will change. And many of us are trusting God for that as well. I'm praying for it, but we don't want to change. When you look at what we've just read here in Peter, he says, therefore, rid yourself of all malice. So which means it is already there. If it is not there, he will not ask you to get rid of it. Is that correct now? Because you don't get rid of what is not there. Do you understand that? So for us to get rid of something, first the thing must be there. And it is not a good thing. I will not dwell on that too much, but it's just for us to see that we need to get rid of certain things from ourselves. We need to change some ways, the way we think, the way we engage, the way we interact, the way we respond. has to change. Thank you, Pastor, for making us know that we don't have a modern God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Those of you who shout and say, Christianity, things have changed. We need to change like the world is changing. You can follow them. I will not dance that way. That is not my part in Jesus' name. The God that we serve, he remains the same forever. His law has not changed. What he said don't do yesterday, he's still saying today, don't do. You know, because we have stayed so long with bad thing. You know why you stay so long? It's a saying that when the leaf stays very long with the soap, it becomes soap. You don't know which one is leaf, which one is soap again. You know when you stay among where things are bad for a very long time, it becomes normal. When as a young lady you are hanging among girls who are wearing pants, sorry, because you here, you call this trouser pant. You are wearing dress. You are wearing, what do you people call, what is, in England we call it pant. What do you call pant here? No, trouser. What you call pant here? We call it trouser in England. So what do you call what we call pant in England? Underwear. So when the girls are wearing, do you not see them with underwears in the streets? And then everywhere you wake up, girls are wearing underwear. Everywhere they are wearing underwear. You become so used to wearing underwear and seeing people wearing underwear that it becomes just normal. The next level you go to is nakedness. Now, I watch a documentary on women's swimsuit. Go and check it out. In those days, their swimsuit used to be like maxi. You know maxi? That gown, the ladies know what maxi is and it's about ladies, so it's okay for you. Men, forget it. It's maxi. It's white maxi, very long. And they don't wear it in the presence of any man. When they wear it, they enter into a cart. You know the type they use in pulling horses. They will stay inside. Then they will push it backwards to the bank of the river. Then they will just open the door and then jump into the river because they don't even want you to see them in the swimsuit. It's as good as seeing their nakedness. Growing up as a child, I never saw a female pant or brassiere. Because for a woman, if you see her panties or undies, right? Or brassiere, it's as good as seeing her nakedness. The mamas here will tell us that. We never saw it. When they wash it, they dry it in a place you can never see. I don't know how they used to do it, but we didn't see them. So when you have stayed so long with it, it becomes normal. That's what I'm trying to bring to us here. There's an American saying that if your mirror cracks and you don't change it after 7 days, the crack disappears. Abby, do you know what it means? It means you have gotten so used to the crack that you no longer see it as a crack anymore. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice, of all deceit. Do you know it is deception when you are doing something and you have a different thing in your heart, like Pastor just said to us. What you are doing looks right on the outside, but the heart with which you are doing it is not correct. Let me tell us, beloved of God, we don't know. Do you know that anything that negates what God wants is evil, is works of unrighteousness? We cannot continue to live a life of lies and expect that we can grow to the next level spiritually. And like Evangelist Jesus said to us this morning, when your spiritual life is truncated, your physical life can never be balanced. Whatever you are seeing on the physical, it's just like you are just deceiving, just showcasing and deceiving you. You think that all is well, it is not well. Hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. We need first of all to get rid of all this rubbish. All these things that do not glorify God. All the slothfulness, all the sluggishness, all the laziness. All the I don't care attitudes. We need to get rid of them first. Because when you don't get rid of them, They will now form the stadium of distraction in your life and in your heart, like we also told this morning. And once those distractions are there, it will affect the way you think. It will affect what you value. It will also affect what you give your time to. Then in verse 2, he says, like newborn babies. How many of you have seen newborn babies before? Hallelujah. You know when you see newborn babies? When they crave for milk, you cannot rest too. The mamas in the house say, praise the Lord. When babies crave for milk, of course now, when babies crave for milk and you don't respond, the whole house will be on fire. Even you, who is even the parent, you'll be afraid. You think that the child is going to die. The body, baby will be vibrating, shaking like this. And you know, there's a way baby cries and shout that you will think, if you are not, if God does not give you grace to understand, you will think that the child is going to die the next second. You know, and then with the whole body, the face, everything, wow, craving. He's saying, I want milk, I want milk. I don't want to remain like this. I want to move to the next level, because without this milk, I cannot move to the next level. See how God designed it? By default. Which school did they teach that baby to crave for milk? By default, because the baby needs the milk to grow to the next level. Say, like newborn babies, crave. Some translations say desire. Strong desire for pure spiritual milk. I like the way this translation says pure spiritual milk. Not adulterated one. You know, children that were fed with, you know, original organic breast milk from their mother, they are not like the ones that drank the one of something else. We don't know if it is from goat or if it's from cow or from dog or whatever they did it. They packaged it in a tin and can and just put one name on top of it and you give to the child. You know, there's a difference. Goat milk is meant for goat to drink. Human milk is meant for human. God designed it that way. I didn't design it. Even though we are borrowing some and interlocking through the thing, it's creating some problem. Hallelujah. Hey, God help us in Jesus' name. We should crave, so it's your responsibility to crave for it. Desire it. When you crave for something, you will look for it. You will search for every opportunity you can to get it. How many of us understand that? Pure spiritual milk. So that by it, we will do what? We will grow up in your salvation. So which means without this pure spiritual milk, you cannot grow. Oh, I want to go to the next level. Okay, take this thing so you go to the next. You know, it's like in schools. I like that. You know, these days now, they've changed. I don't know how it is in America, but the English people do one kind of funny thing I don't understand. They promote you by age. Is that, do you understand me now? They promote you by age. Whether you understand, you don't understand, it's nobody's business. Once you turn that age, move to the next class. So once in my own place, where I come from, you can grow beard and be in primary one until you pass exam to go to primary two. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And I think that seems to be more like God's pattern. Did you hear what I just said? That seems to be like God's pattern. You are in primary one. You grow beard until you are able to pass the exam of primary one. You not go to primary two. Then I say, oh God, what are you saying now? God, speak to me. Show me where to go. Show me how to live my life. Oh Lord, what he told you 10 years ago, you have not done it. You know when you drive with the GPS, I like the way the thing does. Just say, go, say turn, take the exit after 5 miles. And it keeps quiet. No communication, nothing. What is he waiting for? You must go the 5 miles first. As soon as you are finishing as you are getting towards the fifth mile, as you are approaching it, he's now beginning to tell you again, he say, take the exit. Then as soon as you take the exit, you just compute and say, go 3 miles and turn left. Then it keeps quiet. And you know the funny thing is when you are going, there are so many junctions, so many distractions to turn into. A lot of people are even turning to those roads. But your GPS say, go 3 miles, then turn left. You know, say, ah, all the cars are turning here. Nobody's going forward. Let me follow. That's how some of our lives are. But when we crave the pure spiritual milk, which is the word of God, it is by this word that we grow. The medical science says there are two reasons why we have stunted growth. One is improper formation of the child from the womb. That means you are not properly born again. You claim to be born again, but you are not born again. You enter church and say you are born again. You are not born again. You went and they baptized you and confused you. And you say you are born again. You are not born again. Are you getting me now? You say, oh, my grandfather was a pastor. We used to go to church. Actually, the church used to meet in my father's house. Does not mean you are born again. Are you getting me? My grandma used to take me to church. I go to church every time. In fact, I was even born inside church. It was Bishop Oyedepo that said he was born inside the church. His mother gave birth to him when she went for prayer meeting in the morning. I heard him say that. In church, she delivered him inside church. He didn't get born again until he was about 17. Are you getting me now? That's the first thing. Improper formation of the child in the womb. No matter how much good the food is, that child can never grow. And the next one is malnutrition. You are not feeding the child properly. He will never grow well. We need to crave for the word of God. The man of God said to us this morning, he put the word of God audio in all his devices. Some of us are on his music, you are hearing bing, 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 bing. You are driving a radio. Your car is doing like this. You are sharing. Is that what you call it in America? Sharing, isn't it? Bing, 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 bing. You know, you're driving the car, it's doing like bing, bing, bing. You wonder, is it a car or is it a human being? He is dancing. Bing, 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 bing. Then when you come, you are confused. Your head is hot. Headache everywhere. Why will you not have headache? Why don't you put something there and say, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. You know what I mean? It will just change you. I can understand what you were saying. I key to it because that is what I do. Even when I sleep, I pop it into my ears. You say, no, I don't want any noise when I'm sleeping. Me, I like the noise of the world. Let this noise into my brain. They say, you are not resting. Now, you sabi. You are the one that know that one. For me, let that word enter my ear. It is okay for me. You know, it gets to a point, you get so used to it. Do you know when you go with the audio, you can read the Bible over and over, Genesis to Revelation, you can finish several times in a year. Sometimes within a span of 3-4 months, I would have gone through the New Testament more than 5 times, 10 times. It just becomes part of you. Hallelujah. When you don't crave for the word, how can you know God? And your knowledge of God is what will move you to the next level. How much of God do you know? You say you know God. Which God do you know? I don't have enough time to tell us about the Israelites. After all the miracles that God wrought through Moses in Egypt to bring them out of Egypt, they did not know God. How he parted the Red Sea for them to walk on dry land, they did not know God. And that same Red Sea that they walked through consumed the whole army of Egypt, they did not know God. How he rained down manna from above for them to eat, they did not know God. They wanted meat, he rained it down from heaven for them to eat. They did not know God. Their clothes didn't wear. Do you know, when biology taught us that living things grow, do you know clothes and shoes grew on the body of the Israelites? It's in your Bible. The clothes they wore, the shoes, they didn't need to change it. As they were growing physically, the shoe, the clothes were growing. Yet they did not know God. How do I know that? When it got to the point where Moses went up the mountain and they didn't see him for a long time, 40 days later, they called his brother, come here. We don't know what has happened to this fellow Moses. Now, you make a God for us, like other nations that will go before us. The pillar of fire by night, they have forgotten. The pillar of cloud by day, they cannot remember. The one who powerfully, you know, rescued them from Egypt, they have forgotten. They did not know their God. And the man of God told them, bring your gold. I don't have time to explain all that. They brought all the gold and everything. And the man made the golden calf, brought it to them, and declared, this is your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And they threw a party for that gold, which they never threw for God. And they rejoiced. They did not know God. Hallelujah. If you read in John chapter 17, verse 3, it says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. He said, now, this is eternal life, to know him, the true God, to know Jesus. Do you know Jesus? If you know Jesus, you know God, you don't need a reminder to be in church. You don't need a reminder to evangelize. You don't need a reminder to study your word, to carry your Bible and read by yourself. When you don't understand, call somebody, say, Pastor, I read this thing, but I don't understand. How am I going to do with it? It is step by step. A house is not built overnight. You put layer upon layer, layer upon layer. We're not doing anything to build it up. What effort are you putting in to get to know God? What effort are you putting in to get to know this God, to get his word, to take his word in? Do you deliberately, do you consciously rise up to go into the place of prayer? When the church has not called for prayer like this, do you on your own go for prayers? Do you take out time with your family as individuals? Do you pray? Do you intercede? Or our own prayer is just bless me, bless me. God bless me, bless me. When I went to England, I discovered that when they want to pray, they say, let us pray for our, the way they pray their prayer. Very, very selfish kind of prayer. Let's pray for our loved ones. Let's pray for our friends. Let's pray for our family. So I say, who is praying for our enemies? In the morning, Jesus said to us, what? You should pray for your enemies. Those that despitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for them. Who's praying for them? I want. Children, give me. When are you going to sacrifice and for others? As a student, there's something we used to have prayer target. You will target an unbeliever and pray him into heaven. I'm telling you, you will target an unbeliever. I say, this guy, you must get born again. You're not going to tell him to say so. You will just go on your knees. You will call his name. Everything that is holding me, you break it down. When the word of God hit him like this, you say, hey, what must I do to be saved? But yeah, he drink coffee, just and he just go to challenge and say, you know, Jesus is, let's say, we say, which God? Then you say, everything is going off. To know him. I know what Jesus said in Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This would help us spiritually. If you are not spiritually balanced, every other area of your life would have a problem in one way or the other. You may not understand it, and some of us might think, well, that's just like going to the extreme. You don't really know it. It's not like that. After all, there are people who are prospering, who, you know, everything is working out well for them, and yet they do not believe in God. They don't even think about this. You know, God. People used to say that when you go to the Western world, they are prospering, things are working well, everything works, the system is working. Is the system in the Western world not crumbling today? Is it not tearing apart before our very eyes? Assuming that the spiritual stance of the Western world is solid, will it be the way it is right now? The decisions that they make will be godly. But when people sit down to consciously, deliberately, one man just slept and woke up, who had a father and mother and grew up, and then suddenly say, we want to redefine marriage. Today, say from today, anything that is marrying anything is all right, is marriage. So goat can marry man. That's why in California, a man married a dog. A young lady got up in Britain and married herself. Yes. You are looking at me. You see how foolish this thing is. You are even like, eh? Yes, in Britain. She went and married herself. May the Lord deliver us in Jesus' name. There are many things we need to know. But we need to start so we can grow. It is not too late. My time is up and I'll need to get off soon. It is not too late to begin. Did you hear what I said? It is not too late to what? To begin. You can make a decision from today that as this meeting is going on, before it runs out, like Pastor has said, my prayer and desire is that none of us will remain the same in Jesus' name. Our prayer life, our desire for the word, that you be somebody who craves for the word. When they say Bible study, people don't want to come. People don't want to attend. They don't want to listen. They are not even interested. Even when you say you should just call in into the Bible study if we cannot even physically meet. Can you imagine that? On a platter of gold, made so easy. Just pop the plugs into your ears and then tune in. Even if you are walking and the thing is hidden there somewhere and you are doing your work physically, you are not the one talking. Just listen. Yet you can make phone calls 3 hours. Did you hear that? Hey, you know, the thing is, supervisor, you are doing that one. But when it comes to something that is spiritual, no effort. We have to beg you. We have to push you. I was saying to my son a couple of weeks ago, I was taking him to school. He was going to play his rugby. And we needed to leave the house at about, we needed to be in his school for 7:15. The young man got up as early as 5. There was no alarm. I didn't go to wake him up. He had his shower and got ready. Had his breakfast. Because he wanted to have the breakfast at least an hour before the time that we'll go out. Got himself all packaged up and set. And carried my key. He held the car key and was waiting for me. So that when I come, I wouldn't go. Now I wouldn't need to go and look for the key. Selfishness is very strong. May the Lord deliver us in Jesus' name. The guy was with the key waiting. As soon as I came down like this, I say, you hear someone. When I entered the car, I say, Navi, you see? Did anybody come to wake you up? He said, no. You got up by yourself. You got ready, did everything, prepared like this. See the zeal with which you did what you did now. If I said, let's go for Bible study, is that the way you will rise? He did like this. I said, when I talk about the things of God, I said, do you see what you have just put in this morning? Me, I like it. This is how I want you to pursue God. 13-year-old boy, I said, this is how I want you to pursue God. So when I say Bible study, when I say prayer, when I say it is the things of God, when we say we want to fast, this, you see the vibe, you see the spirit, this energy that you applied, that's what I want to see. Is that what we do today? Just, it's not easy. You know, some of us, do you know, to be candid, do you know, some of us, we're actually looking for every excuse not to be part of what is going on. But God will deliver us in Jesus' name. Because we want to move to the next level, how many of you are willing to change? You want to change, really change. How many of you know that there are things you need to repent from today? You need to get rid of. I told you, see, if you don't get rid, you know, when your box is full, you know, when you are flying, I like the way it is in the airport. Those guys are straight. Especially these American people, when they have 50 pounds. If it just passed 50 pounds, like, they'll just say, you have to take something. Don't you people have mercy in this, your country? In my poor country, I say, I beg, please, just, it's okay, just, this one is like ruler, 50 pounds, 50 pounds. I say, so when I'm going, I have my own gauge, my measure, what do they, this scale, I have my scale, so I measure it before I carry there. I don't want anybody to tell me 50 pounds. So I carry my own ready. So your bag is already 50 pounds. And you get to the airport. And then you meet our Bishop Kalawansin, and then he's now carrying one big box full of dollars, $100 bills. And he says he wants to give it to you so you can carry on this trip. What will you do? You can only check in one luggage. What will you do? Tell me here, what will you do? I talk now. You people say, I want a response. What will you do? Who say I will drop my own? God will bless you abundantly because you are very true. I will drop. You don't care. Whatever is inside that your suitcase, you will just say, man of God, the Lord bless you. I've been waiting for this. Thank you. The other one, because they say, you will leave it there. You know, in the airport, they say, you must attend to the luggage, otherwise they will carry, you let them go and destroy. It's none of my business. Are you checking one luggage? Yes, one. Where is it? Here. Bam. New one. You want to get rid of the luggage. You know what the luggage is in your life. Just close your eyes to pray about that as we wrap up this session. And tell God about that luggage. And say to him, Lord, this baggage I've been carrying, I want to drop them. I want to drop them. This bitterness, this anger, this hatred, this slothfulness, this sluggishness, this unseriousness, all these distractions that have been taking me away, Lord, I want to drop this baggage so that I can move to the next level.